And welcome to another edition of the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. I'm your host, Dougie Almeida, coming to you live from Simpsonville, South Carolina, where I'm blending in. Great show today. Get a special guest today, Mike Faverman and Joe Fernandez will be joining us today to discuss some topics. We're going to be talking about gun control and what it means and all kinds of shit. We're going to be talking about having haters. You know, they say if you're successful and you're doing well, you probably have some haters. And I would be remiss to say the comedy world lost a great guy this week, Jeff Jones from the Looney Bin Comedy Clubs, who's been running those clubs for 20, 30 years, whatever it's been, four clubs, gave you a lot of comics work. Great guy, always busting his ass, always smiling, and he's gone now. So we pray for his family and God's strength to him and his family. And like I said, comedy has lost one of the good ones, as they say. So Jeff Jones, we miss you, buddy. That being said, this show is about making everything funny, whatever possible. That's what comics do. You could take some of the world's tragedies, global tragedies, and make fun of it. And if you have a problem with that, you're probably a reason why the world sucks right now. Without further ado, let me bring up my guests, Mike Faverman and Joe Fernandez. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Dougie. Nice to be here.
What's up?
What's up, Dougie?
Welcome, guys.
I didn't know Jeff Jones passed away, dude.
Yeah, dude, I got it just this morning, on Monday morning, I saw a post, and I had just seen him when I was in Little Rock, I think it was end of April, and he came into the show, and, you know, he's one of those guys, Risky Business, the guy, Tom Cruise. Every time I've seen the guy, he looks aged, he looks the same to me, you know, fucking Jeff, he always had that hair, he's always in shape, and he's always fucking working at... You know, when you stayed at the condo or the house, you'd be there fixing shit, the gutters, and putting up a fucking fence or building a wall. I mean, I shouldn't say that, building a wall. I don't want to make this political, but you know what I mean? He was just always there. And there's so many comics that, you know, the Looney Bin is one of those places where, you know, they give touring comics, hardworking road comics work. You know what I mean? Yeah. They don't just get TikTokers and fucking people with a million views on YouTube to open their shows. They give work to the working comics. So, great dude for that.
Yeah, sorry to hear that. He actually was one of the good guys. He was young too. I don't remember him being like unhealthy or anything like that.
Not at all. The guy was in shape, and you know, from what I understand, and you know, I wouldn't want to put anything out there but a well-known source, a person I would credit, find them credible, said it was a blood clot of some sort, which now raises the question: God forbid if he had a vaccine or something that may have caused it, which.
Right.
You know, I mean, isn't it amazing how people are divided with such a thing? Like, I don't give a shit. If you want to get the vaccine, get it. I haven't gotten it. I had COVID twice. So, I mean, that's my reason for not getting it. I mean, I survived it twice. Why the fuck am I going to take a chance at this point? Right. You know what I mean? I mean, there's certain clubs that if you want to work, they make you get a card, or at least you have to get a card and post it. But you guys, have you guys been vaxxed?
I personally, I've gotten all the vaxes. I feel like the vaxes weakened my immune system because I've never been more sick in such a short amount of time since getting vaxed.
Yeah. It's crazy, Joe.
Yeah, I'm vaxed. My wife's got a compromised immune from her treatment, so I just did it to kind of give a little extra protection and stuff. You know, I would, if it wasn't for her, I probably wouldn't have got it, but you know, you just gotta do what you gotta do.
And the record should state that Joe had a full head of hair before the vaccination, and I don't know
if I did. Just being... I did. And I was a woman.
There's no side
effects. At least one thing didn't change. Come on.
Yes.
it's just unbelievable. So, but at any rate, again, without getting into that, because you could be, you know, listen, I've been holding back from making political statements and stuff on social media, but, you know, I mean, after a while, you got to be like, look, oh my God. I mean, how much worse did things got to get before we, you know, somebody starts pointing a finger, you know, and saying, what the fuck? You know, I mean, it's just like in the previous administration, people are like, oh, you underplayed the pandemic. Okay, I get why you feel that way. But you know what? I mean, shit, we all were learning and da 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 da. Oh, that's fucked up. And now it's like, well, he fucked up Afghanistan. There's no baby formula. No one thought Omicron was going to be a fucking big deal. And, oh, inflation was transitory. What the fuck? And everybody's fucking up. It's like, oh, well, look, he's not Trump. Well, fuck. I mean, At this point, I'd rather have a traffic cone as our fucking president, you know, and leading us through this, all this shit. So it's just, you know, it's like in comedy, right? If somebody, I learned in comedy, like in sports or anything I ever trained at, was that it's good when people tell you when you're fucking up. It's good when you acknowledge and own up, right? Isn't that important?
Yeah. I just want gas below $8. That's pretty much the only thing I want at this point. Fuck baby formula.
Yeah, I'm trying to cut down a baby formula.
Yeah, I get it from the source.
Whether she likes it or not. Hey, baby.
Exactly. If I know her or not, I'm taking it.
Well, the big topic with everything happening, well, obviously with the school shooting in Uvalde, Texas, the gun control debate is back. Now, I carry a gun. I have a concealed weapon permit. I have a carry permit. I believe in the Second Amendment. If you don't, then I respect your thoughts on that. But isn't it amazing how we just don't focus on the criminal anymore? Like in other words, if somebody gave somebody food poisoning, are we going to stop making pots and pans? If we, you know, I don't get it. I don't know if you guys are, how hard you stand on this, but I mean, are you guys gun carriers? Or are you?
I live in Jersey, so I can't carry any gun. But I grew up with guns my whole life, hunting with my father. Guns are a big part of my life. And, you know, who knows what the answer is with all of it? You know what I mean? It's like, I think it's just, everyone likes to try and find, like, what's this one thing? It's a lot of things.
I mean, the question is it the weapon or is it the person wielding the weapon? You know, I mean, people ask me,
it's both. And think about it. I mean, it's both. I mean, the people obviously with the weapons are Looney Tunes and obviously have an agenda to either get famous or to take out their hate on a group of people. But I mean, there is one common denominator in every shooting, and that's a gun. So we have to eventually come up with a solution. I have a solution. I don't know if it's viable, but if you put little GPSs on guns of some sorts and they're on the move, large amounts of them, then it should alert some kind of agency to say, hey, you know, lots of guns on the move. You know, maybe you should check this out.
Well, that's good if you're having an armed militia that's going to attack something on large media. But, you know, the problem is it's one gun, one person. You know, for every gun that somebody uses for that, there's thousands of people that are properly storing it and keeping it for their self-defense. I don't believe in the disarming of this country. I think that, you know, listen, there's got to be responsibility. I'm okay with, you know, if you got to be 21 to buy a gun, although there is an unconstitutional part of the age of 18 towards that is. You may have to make some adjustments. I'm okay with making adjustments. But, you know, again, we are ignoring the fact that people are fucking losing their mind. You know, we wonder why there's violence and they were talking about the shooting of the people in Buffalo where, you know, the racist kid, white kid shot all those black people in Buffalo, which was a horrible crime, you know. But at the same time, if you watched in Philly this weekend, you know, a group of folks just started shooting the fuck out of each other with no regard to any life of their own or anybody standing around them. So to me, whether it's race or not, it doesn't even matter anymore. People are losing their mind. You know, people have lost, like, people don't think there's a price to pay when you act a complete fool and act in a sense of disorderly conduct. And when you take policing, when you demonize police and when you basically let people like, oh, we gotta feel bad. We got to feel bad for the, you know, the victim, the person who, you know, committed the crime because it's poor of them and this and that. Enough of this fucking shit. You know, there's too many people on earth. We need to thin the herd. And if you fuck up, you fuck up. You know, it's time to go. Like in California, that kid who ran over those people, or the baby, the mother and her baby, you know, fucking 5 months in a juvenile fucking summer camp. You know, I mean, shit's got to stop.
Well, I mean, you know, how do you detect someone who's mentally ill on the verge of, you know, mass murder? I mean, from what I understand, they're giving plenty of notice that people are, you know, at risk, but no one seems to be doing anything about it. I heard the FBI knew about one of the shooters weeks before because they had been reported by like a teacher or something like that. So it's like, maybe we have to, you know, jump the gun a bit, no pun intended, and take out a lot of these mentally unstable people so that they don't do it beforehand. You know, this Joe, we got to figure out a way to detect these people.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably easier said than done. It's like, because a lot of times you don't even hear about these, like, you know what I mean? Like, this kid bought this gun legally, like, the day before. You know what I mean? Like, how is that possible? You know what I mean? Like, a lot of these school shootings are bought legally. It's not even, like, criminal guns. Like, the one in Philly was, like, one of those, like, you know, fake 3D printer guns. But, like, a lot of the school shootings are and like, everyone always says the mental health, like, it's a mental health issue, which is true. But, like, I think we're asking a lot for a mentally unstable person to go find a job with the health benefits good enough to get the insurance, to get the mental health, and have the wherewithal to know he's insane, to go get the help before he decides to, you know what I mean? Like, it's got to be the long way.
Well, didn't we have that? Didn't we have, like, you know, Affordable Care Act, that everybody supposedly has insurance or gets insurance, you know, and what Mike said about, you know, there's been signs that, you know, there's, you know, people are sometimes nervous to act. You're like, oh, how, you know, I don't want to infringe on anybody's civil rights, you know, by going in and questioning them on their, some of the, their behaviors or shit they've done, et cetera. But again, I go to the fact that, look, because some fucking loon grabs a gun and shoots somebody, that doesn't mean that I can't have a gun to protect somebody who does that. Now, if you say you're going to eliminate guns completely in the country, that's going to take several decades to do in this country, because everybody has a fucking gun. You're not going to have that fucking happen. So, yeah. But
eliminating guns is not good.
No, you know, so no, you're right. It's got to
be harder for these people to get a gun.
Yeah.
You know, harder for them to get a gun. Like, I don't know what that entails.
Yeah. Mike?
I heard a lot of the frustrations in schools is due to sexual frustration with kids. So my solution would be in bringing professional hookers to suck and fuck these kids so they're no longer violent and they can relax and enjoy their lives finally.
That or perhaps we should hire hot teachers so that the students just fuck the teachers. You know, then it won't shoot anybody.
Well, they've been doing that the last couple of years.
if you're banging a hot teacher, who the fuck, you're not going to want to shoot anybody unless the person who tells the husband. You know what I mean? That's a good point, Mike. All right. Well, let's move on. Inflation is killing us all as comics. If you're a road comic, gas prices have put a hinge in your road work. The price of airline tickets has gone up 30-40%. I don't know about you. I had my last gig in Oklahoma City at the Looney Bin. I had to drive from Greenville, South Carolina to Atlanta so I can get an affordable ticket to fly directly to Oklahoma City. You guys seeing any pinch with this inflation? Joe?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the gas prices are ridiculous. Yeah. But I live in Jersey, so there's a lot more gigs with drivable distance. Like, I don't have to really go on the road as much, but it's almost like, get to the point. It's like, it's better for me to work for free at a local club than to drive to any club with the distance and hope there's somebody that still will buy a CD in this day and age.
He still sends CDs.
CD.
People buy them. I'm shocked. I still have like 60 of them left and I'm selling them one at a show. One every show, 60 shows, and I'll be out.
I've been doing these cruises, so they fly me in and out. But yeah, the ridiculous prices. I mean, it's just, everything's gonna burst eventually. I mean, everything's so unaffordable. No one made money really during the pandemic, and then there's an inflation. I mean, are they trying to starve us out or what? What are they trying to do here? Control us and make us all broke so they can make us depend on them again?
I think you called it. I think the Chinese government, the Russian government, and Joe Biden are all after comics. They say we're going to fuck these comics. These assholes, they're making fun of us all. We'll see who's laughing last.
Well, Doug, you're a finance guy. You probably understand this better than any of us.
Yeah. Listen, the bottom line is, when people ask, you know, Putin did not cause the inflation. You know, there was mass, when you put trillions of dollars in the money system, M2, that's, you know, government spending. This comes down to the old books. Inflation started by government spending, and every government around the world was putting money in their systems to protect it through the pandemic and stuff. The problem I could tell you on our government is, even though we had the first, you know, when everything happened, you know, we had the initial aid from the pandemic. But then when the economy was coming back in the second tranche of the they wanted $7 trillion or $5 trillion, but ended up being $1.6 trillion. But even then, the economy was coming back. People were going back to work. You know, the pandemic wasn't like a big fundamental breakdown of the economy. It was just things got shut down and they got reopened. You know, so, you know, people didn't go to work and now people are learning to go back. But it, you know, it's the hope that, you know, I think we've seen it peak on inflation, but now what happens is you hope the unemployment, you hope companies don't start going, fuck, I don't make enough money. So guess what? We got to lay off people. That starts a snowball effect in causing more economic issues. But we'll see. We got to worry about, you know, we're weeks away from China going into Taiwan. We are, you know, if people don't think that's not going to happen, be prepared. It will happen. And there's all kind of food shortages. Be prepared. I'm telling my friends to stock up on canned goods and shit because there will be food shortages. China controls both sides of the Panama Canal, and they are purposely slowing things down as we speak. And if anybody doesn't think they are complete enemies of us, then they need to realize that. But on an economic scale, the good news is people don't trust China anymore. South American and Central American countries are decoupling from China, and they're going to be responding more to the North American alliances. So let's see if it all weighs out. Let's see. You can now, by the way, good news for Apple. You can now unsend a email or anything you send on an Apple product. Have you guys ever sent an email you wish you never sent?
Every day. Every day, my friend. I wish you would say, hey, man, this is uncool. Don't send it. I wish you would have that kind of filter.
Are you sure you want to send this?
Seriously, man. I've blown a lot of opportunities by jumping the gun. I don't know why I keep saying that. But I mean, what took so long?
Now, is the iPhone unsend? Does the iPhone unsend when you unsend it? Like, say you send it. Does that person still get it and then it disappears from them? Like if it shows up on their notifications, like, go fuck yourself, it disappears? Like, do they give you any buffer? I didn't read up on it, but I'd like a 10-minute buffer.
Well, I think like when Facebook, like when you send a message on Facebook, it tells you if it's been delivered, but it tells you when it's read, like when somebody actually opens it. So if you can can unsend it before it's read, right, then you're safe. You know, you're just hoping that person isn't sitting there waiting for your stupid comment, you know?
I mean, what took so long? This isn't like a heavy duty technology we're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, I think technology.
Okay, what do you do if you send something?
Go ahead. No, Joe, go ahead.
What do you do if you send something, delete it, right? Accidentally sent to your friend, and they go, they did see it, but then they act like they didn't. They go, hey, what did you send? Now, do you lie, or do you tell the truth?
I say always lie.
Exactly. You know, isn't that weird? You know, it's funny. It's funny how sometimes you don't know, like when you know there's something out there in the universe that could potentially make you look guilty of whatever it is you're worried about when somebody asks you. Not too recently, but for example, I did a show with somebody and a friend of mine was busting my balls and he said, hey, that comic's going to try to blow you out of the water because I was headlining. And so they said, you know, this comic he's going to want to blow your doors off. He's coming after you. I said, who wouldn't? Whenever I feature, I'm coming out fucking balls blazing. I'm coming to rip. I don't give a fuck who's headlining. I'm going to do my job. You know what I mean? I'm not going to come out and soft shoe it. So I didn't give a shit. But then it was funny. The person mentioned it to the person. And then that person then said, oh, you know, did so-and-so... who said it? Because I talked to a couple of comics and they made comments about you. And I just said, fuck, I just found out that there's a couple asshole comics in Florida that are shit talking me, goddammit, over this stupid, you know what I mean? It's amazing, you know, but you're right. You know, you don't know if they read it or not. And they're like, hey, did you send me something? You're like, oh, I don't know if it was you or somebody else I was supposed to send it to.
Yeah.
That should be part of the technology. They're like, hey, man, they read it. You know?
Yeah, that's got to be part of it because you got to know what happened to that.
Yeah.
Right. Or you're just going to be like, listen, let's, or you're just going to, I've sent a text to the person, a text about someone to the person, you know, that I was talking about. And then you just like, all right, I guess this is time for the uncomfortable, honest conversation we need to have. Then, like, let's put it out there.
I tried
not having this by talking shit behind your back. But now that I talk shit about you to you, let's go.
I was on the receiving end one time. I had a booker of a comedy club who was supposed to send it to one of their assistants. The notes from shows, it came to me and it basically said, Dougie ran the light again. You know, he ran the light again. So I messaged it back. I go, am I really running the light all the time for God's sakes? I mean, what the fuck? And like, oh, that wasn't supposed
to
go. No,
who said that?
It wasn't me. I didn't write that shit. Oh, that's funny.
That's funny.
I like how it's again, like this is another text. This is like the second time they sent this text and the third time. Dougie did it again. This is a thread about you, Dougie. They have a thread.
He needed the extra worse. Time to follow that feat.
Yeah, that guy was solid. You know, which brings me to the haters. You guys got haters? You have haters in your past? You have haters now?
Not that I know of, but I'm sure they have to be there.
Mike,
I got some haters. I got about 5 or 6 years ago, something happened to me online where I said something to some lady in a private message, and it got reposted, and I had a bunch of millions of haters at that time. But soon afterwards, there was a group of subpar open micers that tried to come at me, and I laughed about it because I'm like, how can you try to attack someone who's been very successful for a long period of time, and you guys have been doing this for 10 years still open micers. Yeah. So I basically just said to them, hey, until you've done anything I've done in comedy, I don't want to hear a word you say. And that pretty much that out pretty fast.
That's a great point. A lot of times it is the newer comics that are out there boasting and commenting and shit. You know, when I remember when I worked at the loony bin in one of the loony bins in 2020, when the pandemic in the summer. You know, early, and I caught COVID for the first time in like May, June of 2020. So after I recovered from it, and I had 90 days of antibodies. I had 90 days of immunity. That's my doctor said. So I booked some dates. Somebody, open mic comic, I call him an open mic wannabe, the greatest open mic comic on earth, contacted the club and said, hey, how can you have this guy perform and not quarantine him? So the club owner said, well, why don't you tell me your name and stuff if you're concerned and this and that. And the guy took it off the voicemail. But you know, the comic tried to fuck up my dates. You know, try to keep me from performing. Isn't that fucked up? And here's the funny thing. I know this
person. It's odd that another comic would want to take another comic's work like that.
Yeah, but that's haters. And like you said, Mike, this was an open micer. This is a guy who's been doing comedy for 10 years and still performs at the same place and doing the same 15 minutes. I know who the person is. So, you know, the vengeance is coming. But I like to do things in a 10-year cycle. I usually strike back 10 years later when there's no real motive to be interpreted. You know, so we'll figure out a way to pay that fucker back. Anything ever happened to you, Joe?
I'm trying to think. Like, I mean, there's one guy in comedy that
I have no like, energy to put into people. I have no energy to put into people that aren't doing it.
Yeah, yeah. You don't pay any attention to them, Joe.
Yeah, I don't give any credence. There was a guy in Jersey. He's like the biggest shit talker. People tell me things he says, and I'm just like, I don't even want to hear what he says about me because he's just someone that's not successful, like you said. And he just, that's the way he tries to, I guess, make himself feel better. But like, but even that guy, I don't like him because of the shit he said, but I've had club owners ask me about him and I still won't fuck up his work. I'll be like, listen, we're not friends, but hey, you know what I mean? If you like him, like I will never like try and fuck up somebody's career, even if I hate them.
Yeah, good point, right? Good point.
Well, I just I feel like bad juju. Like, it'll come back to me if I put, like, voodoo hexes on people or try to, like, fuck with them.
Voodoo hexes. Fucking Joe's sitting there with a fucking voodoo doll. Fucking asshole open micer. Right in the ass. Right in the ass open micer. Right in the ass.
Yeah, that's it.
Cutting the mic cord.
Oh, that's fucking great. Let's talk about, we mentioned this about jokes, and I'm pretty vocal, and I learned not to be as much. I learned a lesson, and I've heard this in entertainment. They say, if you're in the business of entertainment, you should really never badmouth anybody, at times, because it always comes back. I've had a few comics say, well, some people deserve it. You know, there's some people that you have to fucking call out. Yeah. I mean, I call them out. If, I would come up, I feel like you mentioned about open micers and haters, when, as I toured the country and I'd come back to Florida when I was doing my stand up in Florida and I lived there, you'd have people that think they're so original. Oh, it'd be great when somebody call you a hack. You're like, hey, well, that joke that you fucking tell, you think it's so fucking unique. There's a comic in Pittsburgh that tells it. There's a comic in Texas that tells that joke. There's a comic in LA that tells that fucking joke. You know what I mean? And it's generally those jokes that are, the low hanging fruit jokes, that people had that parallel thinking on. But I was at Coconuts in Tampa one time, and a guy went up before me, and you can tell when somebody's a joke thief when every joke they tell is in a different cadence. It's in the cadence that they learned the joke from. In other words, this guy went up and he was an old timer and he was just fucking telling these jokes, and I had heard a bunch of them. So I went up to the owner. I said, listen, I really don't want that guy in the room when I'm on stage, because I know he's a joke thief. Half those jokes he told were somebody else's joke. And the guy says, really? So the guy got upset. He goes, you don't want me in the room? I go, no, you're a fucking joke thief, dude. He's like, why do you say that? I go, because every joke you tell is in the cadence of the person you stole it from. You don't have the same fucking cadence. You're a different guy every fucking two or three minutes. So I thought that I'd called that out, but if not, I'd like to know if somebody tells me, hey, I've heard that joke before. I'm like, oh, really? Well, I know the norm of culture of the joke. I didn't write it because I heard it on the guy saying it on YouTube. I wrote it because I was inspired by some sort of thing. But, generally when that happens, I'll be like, look, then I'm like, obviously I got to write a new joke. I want to write new. That's what I think the difference between comics and successful comics is the turnover material, right? Don't you think, Joe?
Oh, yeah. I mean, for sure. But like what you're saying with doing the same joke as somebody, a lot of times that happens with comics. We all know who the joke thieves are. They're like blatant. Like you've seen, or it's like those guys that are, you never see them work in any clubs anywhere. Yet whenever you do see them, they're like, a whole bunch of brand new A material. You're like, where are you working this shit out? Nobody sees you. Like, what this can't be. Like, you're not that brilliant that you're coming from home to the stage and killing like that.
Yeah.
But turnover, I mean, some people turn over too fast. I think they got to slow it up a little bit.
Mike, what do you think?
I think hacks are so lazy, they don't even change a single word of a joke. They don't even have the decency to switch up a couple of words to try to mask it, and I think you need to call them out every time until they quit or until they run out of that town, because that's basically what it is, dude. They'll just keep doing it, accumulate all these great jokes until somebody calls them out, and then you boot them out of your town. You go to another town to do the same shit, dude, and then eventually they just run out of towns.
Yeah,
you never see them last, They usually get booted out pretty. Yeah,
exactly. A couple people come to mind when you tell me that they didn't last. They were like sparks in the middle of the night, and now they're down. Now they're collecting grocery carts outside Walmart.
Comedy shit is hard. It's like, you know how difficult it is to come up with a brand new bit that kills, that's original, that's never had that angle or take before. It's like, that's the job.
Yeah, exactly. What would you, without telling the joke, we'll start with Joe. What's a recent joke, the topic of the joke, the idea of the joke? What's the most recent new joke that you got that's part of your act, and you say this is your new baby?
I tell a story about my wife and I going to a drag show in Key West on vacation, and how basically how basically even at 47 years old, I have to fit in wherever I'm at, no matter what that entails.
Okay. You're such a fucking hack, dude. I just heard a comic tell that same fucking joke.
Did you? I knew it. And then, you know what? I saw an Instagram reel and I got my pen out.
And he was talking about your wife.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
I go to a drag show with Joe Fernandez's wife from Tampa, her fucking Key West. That's fucking funny.
I would, dude, if somebody was on stage actually saying that in that way, I would die laughing. I would be like, this, that would be hilarious. I know you're, this, to me, this is very creative. At least you're not taking my persona.
It's original.
It's original. It's your take on my joke, the way I tell my joke.
That's fucking great.
Can I open for you? That's what I'll say to him.
Yeah. Can my wife open for you?
Can my wife open for you? I'll sell you CDs after the show. Yeah.
There you go.
I think my new merch is VHS tapes. I'm gonna also sell the VCR for $50. My tape's free, but you gotta buy the VCR for $50.
See, Dougie, I don't think you understand the places I play, the towns I play. CDs are still big.
Yeah.
They're brand new, actually.
They're brand new, so I don't know if you see my schedule over the past.
You go to his neck of the woods in Jersey. People are walking around with fucking Walkmans, cassette players.
Sam, just say I'm big on the.
But they're waterproof circuit. And yellow. Yeah.
Exactly. You can swim with it. Yeah. Who doesn't like to swim and listen to music at the same time?
Well, when I'm drowning a victim. I like to listen to my songs.
Yeah, when I'm drowning, I like to listen to Phil Collins, you know, fucking, you know, that one song that's supposedly about drowning. Mike, what's a recent joke? What's your newest baby joke without telling the joke, but maybe the idea of it?
Oh, well, I mean, my jokes are quick. I talk about how I'm Jewish, but I only date German women who likes to swallow because it makes them happy every time they swallow. They're killing millions of Jews. And then I tag it with, one girl came over so often I nicknamed her the Swallowcost. So I've been kicked off of shows before, but I don't, dude. The way I see it now, and I may be going off topic. It's like, in order to get rid of those snowflake pussies that are trying to get rid of comics or saying shit that they don't agree with, is to go harder. And make sure they stop coming, because they're not going to win. You're not going to kill comedy, right, dude. So go harder, and then eventually they'll fucking stop bitching and moaning, or stop coming, at least.
That's a great point. You know, I think I'm starting to see a change. You know, I think because when people moan or groan about certain jokes, you know, like I tell a joke, my wife's based on my wife and I's communication. I asked her to go to Home Depot to get me a wet vac. She comes back with a Mexican. And I'm like, you know, people fucking, and it's always a white woman that groans at that joke. You know, the Mexicans are laughing their ass off at the joke. You know, sure. Black people love the black jokes, but the fucking white people just get so ass hurt. But I think it's a great point. You definitely go harder. And I think we're seeing that. Like Chappelle, like, you know, you look at what Dave Chappelle has done for comedy in the last year with coming out and saying what the fuck he wants to say. And, you know, he's just being funny. He's taking a real life situation and putting his perspective on it. And, you know, that's what comedy's about. It's about laughing about nobody's, you know, Steve Marshall says that, you know, if you want to live in this country, you got to be ready to be made fun of. If you don't want to be made fun of, you're not an American. You know, you're just a fucking communist. And,
they're not just attacking, they're attacking everything that's right with comedy, which is being able to say exactly what you want to say, how you want to say without tiptoeing. And they're trying to make us tiptoe. And it's like, I'm stomping now, dude. If you don't like it, get the fuck out.
That's a great point. Great point. Anything to add to that, Joe?
Well, yeah, like I was talking about that recently with someone because, you know, I get, you know, a lot of times with the transgender jokes now, like, that community is very like, don't want you to talk about it. But you almost want to say to them, if you just like let it go, like the harder you come at it, the more it's going to happen. But if you let it go, it's going to become hack eventually. And then it'll go away. You'll just be part of, like, equality, you know what I mean? Like, people will stop doing it, but like the more you push against it, I think it keeps it around longer than it naturally will. I believe. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
well, that you know, that goes to a philosophy. Like, look, I believe in equality, but I don't believe people should be treated special. And I think there's certain parts of our communities that are not just looking for equality, but they want to be treated special. They wanted to be treated different. And I think that's what gets people uptight about that certain movements. You know, it's one thing, you know, and like you said, it has to do with humor. You know, you listen, when I come out on stage, I spend the first part of my set making fun of myself, you know, and making fun of everything I fucking do that's stupid, and, you know, and I don't, you know, and I think it's a key part, you know, and you're right. I think I'm seeing that, Mike. I'm seeing on the road comics coming out and saying, fuck you. This is what we're going to say. Because if you want nice and stuff, just go watch TV, go watch sitcoms, go watch today's TV programs. If you want, you know, that shit. But if you want to have fucking get off the rails, what comedy clubs are for, you know, these are the speakeasies of the past. These are the, you know, people come to hear shit and cursing and fucking stuff that you normally wouldn't talk about. That's what comedy clubs have come out and, you know, that's what it should be. So
and we're trying to make you laugh. We're not trying to offend you. It's not like we're going up there. I want to just offend everybody in the room. So
I'm trying.
It's like, I mean, all right. Some people
Mike,
are. Some
Mike
people
is. Are. Mike is.
But do you guys run into it a lot? I don't run into a lot of audience members that are get like shitty. I feel like that's a big internet thing. Like live audiences, I can't really say that I run into that a lot. Like sensitive.
I get it a lot, but I get a lot because I'm pushing the button. But I don't think a lot of people are courageous enough to go face to face. That's what the whole cancel culture is being a pussy behind your keyboard. So it's not being, hey, I'll approach this guy face to face. But the problem is that there's no, they have no intrepidation because there's no repercussions for them.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
You can literally send an email and get someone, you know, fired.
Yeah. I think it's a great point. And, you know, an earlier podcast I did with my other show, it's like, we talked about it, you know, it's a small, very fraction percentage of the population that are doing this shit. The majority of people are not like that. It's just these people that want to be heard and set, you know, they're reaching out and trying to make these types of, you know, confrontations. But you're right. You know, I had somebody, I tell a joke. I call it my not me joke, but you know, it's basically about the Me Too movement and how guys shouldn't force themselves on women because there's so many whores out there. Woman comes up to me and she's like, you know, I was offended by your joke. I said, I apologize. What happened? She goes, well, I was molested when I was 12. I'm like, well, I don't think my joke has anything to do with molestation. I don't think I've ever mentioned that. It's just, well, when you brought that up,
sounds
it made
like
me feel
like,
yeah, I understand why your uncle put his dick in your mouth at the time. You're probably talking shit. You know, but see, that's what comics will do. Right, Mike, listen, you and I, in this hypothetical situation, we really mean well for this person, right? But at the same time, when shit happens, you got to fucking say, look, that's stupid. You know what I mean? I don't give a fuck if you're a woman, if you're gay, if you're a guy, whatever it is. If you fucking say something stupid, guess what? You're going to get called out, you know? I'm that way.
You go to a comedy club and you complain about anything that's said, you're an idiot. You came out to a freedom of speech event. Let it go and enjoy the rest of it. You don't fucking harp on one thing you disapproved of.
Yeah.
You're just ruining your own time. You're just being that fucking Karen person that nobody likes.
Yeah, exactly.
One time I was doing a bit about my father's funeral. I was open up for Jim Florentine, and I'm doing a bit about my dad's funeral, and this woman in the crowd was just like, just told me to shut up. Stop talking about this. I can't believe you're talking about this. My father just died. I'm like, I don't think you just heard the story. So did mine. And like, she started like getting so loud that the audience was going against her. A fight broke out in the middle of the, like, nice. Right in the middle, right in the front row, like a brawl. I was like, I got off stage, and then they're like, do you want to go back up? I'm like, no. So Florentine goes up and he's like, I apologize for my family coming out tonight. Blah, blah, blah.
Can I do that? Can I do that? Can I do that? Listen, I don't do many impressions, but I do a Florentine. You ready? All right. Yeah. I'm sorry that my family came out and acted like rookies.
Yeah. They
came out. They're embarrassing me. It's horrible. They're a bunch of rookies.
Yeah.
There you go. Well, that's amazing. Yeah. Well, you know, and comics have brought that up on our show before. Heckling happens because if you watch every movie or TV show about fucking comedy, there's always a heckler scene. So But you know, like in lieu of things would happen with, you know, I don't know about you guys, but I'm always ready on stage. If somebody wants to come up on stage, I think the three of us would probably destroy somebody if they came on stage, you know. But
I've been attacked on stage dozens of times.
Really?
And, I like it. I don't like it. I feel like
this is awesome.
You're gonna leave it with something to remember. Memorable. Mostly yeah. It's chicks, so I can handle it.
He's like, I'm 40 minutes in. I haven't had one attack yet. This show sucks.
When do you watch?
This is bullshit.
You watch videos
crowd,
of Mike.
You are the worst crowd ever.
You watch Mike videos of Mike doing stand-up. He's up. You watch videos of Mike doing stand-up. He's up there going.
Yeah. Since we're a body armor.
Yeah. All right, fellas. Well, it's time for the news is a joke. This is where we talk about actual news stories and make fun of them, no matter how bad they are, everybody. Our first story is a Florida man. Man dies searching for his Frisbee disc in a Florida lake known for alligators. You know, hey, do you think I should go grab that fucking disc I just threw in there that's worth $1.50? You know, I don't... You know, a 47-year-old man ignored signs going into the water to try to find his disc and was eaten by an alligator.
I think it was sympathy worth
for for the alligator.
Yeah.
He must have been from out of town, right? There's no
This is a fucking Florida guy, dude.
Really?
Yeah. It was in Tampa Bay area.
I wonder how he tasted, if he tasted like an idiot.
Yeah.
Maybe it was a suicide death by alligator.
Yeah, the guy purposely throws his disc a little close to the water. He hates his wife, found out his wife's cheating on him.
Then the shitty police department's like, I found Frisbees. That's what it had to be. Let's move on. Next case.
Yeah, exactly.
How many Frisbees are at the bottom of that lake?
Yeah.
You know, this reminds me, there was one time I was playing golf, and I used to play golf. I was pretty good, actually. And I my three wood went into the fucking water. It was kind of drizzling in between holes, and I went to swing, and my fucking three wood went flying into this fucking middle of a canal. And I'm like, oh, fuck. And I went back to my house, and I got my pool thing, like the pool net. I'm thinking maybe I can try to reach it with the pool net. I put the pool net down, and it was like this. I mean, it was literally like a drop, like the abyss. I said, fuck. So I ended up going in there and swimming. I had goggles, and I'm trying to look around, and I'm swimming. And all I see is kelp in front of me, and I'm going down. I'm like ready to see this fucking alligator come at me. I'm like, I got up right away and said, this is stupid. Not only catching hepatitis C in this fucking water, but getting eaten by an alligator to get a $200 fucking golf club. And I got the fuck out of there.
Right.
How you went back to get goggles. Like, you were really, like, yeah, I got to go get my gear, man. Like,
that's a fucking
speedo,
flippers and everything.
Yeah, I got flippers, a fucking speedo. I fucking put a bubble around my ass so I wouldn't sink.
That's my lucky three wood. Swimming. That's my lucky three wood. I gotta go.
Man loses leg over retrieving his three wood.
Oh, I just want to see your friends. Like, where's Dougie going? And you're coming back with speedos on with the fucking goggles, just marching across. Fucking green. Oh my god.
I just remember I took my first step into the water, it was knee deep. The second step was chest deep, and it was cold as shit. And I said, oh fuck. And then I started thinking, oh, this isn't good. I'll take a plunge down there and see if I can find it. I'm like, I ain't gonna find this. And you go down there, all you see is kelp. There's all these, like, well, fucking ridiculous.
You open your
eyes.
That's
the day I quit golf.
Yeah. Well, any rate. Here's another Florida man story. Florida man and woman crash into FedEx truck during a sex act. This is right in Fort Lauderdale. The man was receiving roadhead, as we call it, and probably was ready to climax when he realized he almost delivered into the back of a FedEx truck. What was the movie with Robin Williams years ago where that happened? His girlfriend or somebody was cheating on him and bit the other guy's dick off. By crashing it as an old movie, but Robin Williams.
Not RV, yeah. Was it?
Who's the guy who was in Third Rock from the Sun? He played the the mayor or the pastor in Dirty Dancing. That guy, I can't remember his name. Anyway, he's in the movie with Robin Williams. He's a transgender in that movie. But that was the scene where the guy, one last time, she's going to fuck around on her husband, and they're blowing it, and he comes running home and crashes into the car, and they bit his dick off. Yeah, I mean, who doesn't like Roadhead? I mean, Roadhead is probably one of the, as a man, don't you think it's one of the top 10 things we can get, Roadhead?
Yeah.
It's like nice, Roadhead. But I prefer to park. I just pull over for a little bit. You know what I mean? Why do we have to go while we're driving? Like, you know what I mean? Like, nice little rest area. Just
a nice rest area. Hold on, my girl's gonna finally blow me. Now I gotta find a fucking rest area. Oh,
I like it dangerous. I want to be going like over 90 in like traffic and shit. It just excites things, you know.
Yeah, I'd like to be driving 90 miles an hour getting roadhead as I put a tire on my neck and put it out my sunroof and hook it to my fucking back bumper. Yeah, this is,
I mean, if you're going to get head, you're going to make it dangerous, you know?
The first time I did that is when I had a girl in middle school blow me with fucking, I remember the first time I got a blowjob by a chick who had braces. I thought that was dangerous.
Yikes.
Do you ever get, you guys ever
how,
get,
how young was she?
Listen, what are you, a fucking prosecutor, goddammit? She was, I think I was 15, 14, something like that. First time I got hit from a girl with braces. You ever have a woman perform oral on you that had braces? And was it as bad as they say?
I don't think I have.
Hmm.
I only dated snaggletooth women when I was younger, just, you know, very
they needed braces.
Pre-braces. I wasn't getting the ones with the braces. Those are the high class broads in my neighborhood growing up. Had braces, they had money.
Mike, you had to have gotten oral performed on you from a woman with braces.
Well, after I was done banging her, she needed braces on her hips. Come on, gay.
That would have been great if he was like, well, now that we speak of it, you just see her head come up.
Yeah, she's smiling.
And then she goes, and then he's like, here's some lunch money. And then she's going
to go. She won't be smiling, tomorrow, guys.
Smart. Yeah. I'll see you tomorrow at recess.
Yeah.
That's fucking me. All right, let's move on. A California woman found $36,000 of cash inside a cushion of a free couch that was given to her from Craigslist. You know, I always tell the story when I worked at a bank in Hollywood, Florida. One of my clients passed, and the wife went up to the attic and went to clean the attic, and she found $260,000 in cash in a suitcase. So I told her, I said, hey, if you ever need help cleaning the house next time, let me know. But these people gave away the couch, and the woman brings the couch back. She's putting her head on the fucking pillow like, oh, what the fuck is going on? This little son. And she pulls out $36,000 in cash. But the amazing part of the story is she returned it.
Douche.
Who the fuck keeps 36 grand in a couch? What do those people do? What's happening?
It's a coke dealer.
Yeah, people that had money with Bernie Madoff, that's who. Yeah, they don't trust the system anymore. There's a lot of people that do that. They put money in. You know, that's why a lot of times when old people die, people go in the house, they just tear the shit out of the mattresses and they just rip through everything. And they even go into the walls and they look into different places. I had a friend that did that. They used to go with these people that were hoarders and they would pay to clean up the place and they'd uncover all kinds of shit, coins, fucking, you know, treasure troves of stuff that's worth billions, you know, over a period of time. But, yeah, I mean, and they gave her, gets the reward, $2,200. Now, the question is, would you give the money back if you found $36,000 in a pillow that you just got?
No way.
Not a chance.
No way.
You wouldn't feel guilty? No way. Wouldn't feel like perhaps you're...
I would immediately flip that couch to someone else and then fucking go buy a new couch.
Dude, I'd go search for chicks with braces to get head from. Roadhead.
Yeah.
I got money to make this happen, damn it.
And any of you braces want to come back to my house? I got a new couch.
I just got a new couch.
Yeah, I got a new couch with cash in it. It could be yours. Let's go to my house, play my version of Monopoly, lady.
And you can land on my hotel anytime.
Yeah.
That's fucking great. All right, our next story. Arrested Arizona penis man claims there are more penis men like him. Well, he looks like Chumley and Jesus put together. Now, if you didn't read the story, there's people going around putting spray painting penis man all over Arizona. You would think there's so many other things to worry about. But a man who is believed to be the infamous penis man, I always thought that was me, graffiti artist who tagged dozens of spots in Arizona, who brought a heavy-handed justice to the news. He said, containing blah, blah, blah. They said, there's many of us. I'm not alone. Penis man is not a person. It's a movement.
Oh, you're alone. Trust me. You may not be the only one, but you're alone.
I think we met the next active shooter.
Yeah. Yeah, no shit. And we're not talking his penis.
Right. See, take this right. Guy's gun card away. That's all I'm saying right now. After
this, he should not have a fucking gun. But this is...
Wait, hold on. Dougie.
Yeah.
Dougie, is he just spray painting the outline of his dick or some kind of like picture of himself that says dick man on it? Like, what is he doing?
Let's see. They rated... He was booked as a beginner. Let's see here.
Let's say
stories. Come on, Pon.
Penis man graffiti artist.
Yeah. The man named Dustin Schomer posted on Facebook. But can it spread a band?
It's a new Banksy, right?
Yeah. yeah. He spray painted penis man, quote, penis man on various buildings. So he didn't draw a picture of his penis. Oh. He basically wrote the words penis man, you know, his calling card.
What's the problem there? All right, yeah. Well, that guy's an idiot.
Yeah, well, there's probably a transgender person who's pissed that they can't actually say they could be called penis man. And how do you know it's man?
It's vagina man. I
mean, Jesus now, that would be interesting. Yeah, vagina man would be good. I consider myself vagina man. All right, next story. Yeah, they're not all winners. They're not fucking all winners. Okay. Now I love this story because my wife is Asian. But here's a story: more Asian women are having sex with white men than with Asian men. And Mike, I'll ask you: why do you think more Asian women are having sex with white men and not Asian men?
Well, first of all, I can confirm that that's not true because my wife is Asian. However, probably because I think Asian people look too much alike, where like men and women, they don't look too different other than the long hair. So I think they're looking for someone who looks different than them.
Yeah, I believe that, because my wife didn't want to date an Asian man. She was looking for different qualities, obviously.
Yeah.
Were you done with white women too?
What's that?
Were you done with white women too? You're like...
You know, I can tell you, I've never...
This is old hat. I need new shit.
I've never been one of... You know, I mean, I took what I could when I was younger, but once I had the ability to pick for my own, I seemed to go to the more exotic, you know, black women, Asian women, Hispanic, you know. Although my wife, my mother was Hispanic, being Hispanic, and every time I would start dating a Hispanic woman, I'd hear my mother yelling. And I'm like, I don't know if I want any of that shit. And then, you know, but I've... my buddy used to get pissed because whenever we'd go to a strip club, the black women and the Asian women would just come to me. I didn't say shit. It doesn't, not like I fucking say, hey, they just came. My buddy who was Swedish used to go, what the fuck? Why do all these black women and Asian women come to you all the fucking time? What's wrong with me? I'm like, you're fucking Swedish. Yeah, I don't know if it has anything to do with the size.
I think people just want variety.
Yeah.
I think people want variety. I think it's like they want something they've never had before. They want a different flavor, so to speak.
Exactly. But yeah, and you know, and I know that in China that they're having an issue because there's so many people that, so many men that there's the, because in China for decades people were killing their daughters, you know, to have a boy. So there's this huge distinction difference between Asian men and Asian women. So there's like 10 or 15 women. The number is ridiculous. It's like 20 to 30 men to one woman in China. So like, yeah, there's this incredible discordance that's happening there because of that. So.
Nevertheless, so maybe it's like revenge.
Yeah. Yeah, revenge to their fathers. We know. Fuck yeah. Asian men. They try to kill me.
There's 10 of them to us, so we'll fuck another country.
Yeah. Yeah, we go fuck American men. They have bigger dick anyway. And they come more. They have more of a load.
And when they come, they scream, freedom!
Too much cheating on accident over there.
Yes. All right. This is an incredible story because it was on an Allegiant flight, which I'm actually flying more often because there's a direct flight from Greenville, South Carolina to Fort Lauderdale. But a teen records a Texas man groping her on a flight. The feds say now he's going to prison. Good for that. What a creepy fuck. You know, if you read the story, this young girl was getting groped from behind. And she started filming it, and then she would get up and go to the bathroom, and the guy was sitting by himself in the three seats. And every time she got up, he'd act like he was sleeping. That's a good move, you know. Just
and the sleep ranger. Yeah, yeah.
Grab titty. Yeah, I'm surprised he didn't use that as a defense. I was sleeping, and I was dreaming I was having sex with my wife. But you know,
he must have done this before. This couldn't have been his first time.
You're right, Joe. You know, I bet, because you know what happened. This is the thing about human nature. I think like that. I'm like, you know, what gave the guy the balls to do that? He probably was on a flight once, and he went, you know, he reached forward, and he went, oh, you know, ooh, I got away with it, and he stopped. And then he got on another flight, and he was like, oh, you know, I just got to act like I'm asleep. Oh, you know, it's like when your mother would come home, and you're supposed to be in bed. Oh, I'm sleeping. You know, this creepy fuck. You know, but he was 76. Vincent Harry Kopacek, 76 of Fredericksburg.
76. You got to give leeway with age.
Right? Yeah. Hey, he's an old man.
There's a certain age where, like, groping is just, it's your grandfathered in, no pun intended. You know what I mean? Like, it should just be like, I don't know.
All right. All right, so according to Joe, you have to be at least 21 years old to get a good. You have to be 21 years old to get a fucking gun. But if you want to grope somebody, you got to wait till you're at least 75. Then you're just a fucking perverted old.
That's just what I'm saying. I mean, especially if he's being creative, trying to act like he's sleeping. He's not just like really going for it. He's like, he's doing a game. I'm just trying to defend the guy a little bit. When he told me his age, I felt bad. He may not even know he's doing it. That's what I'm saying.
Oh my God. He probably doesn't. He's got that new form of Alzheimer's. It's called pedophilia Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
All right. Our last story of the day. Strippers can apparently be better forecasters of the economic markets than the pros. And I've said this, and I told you guys before the show, as somebody who attended strip clubs many times. I actually will boast that I think in 1 year on my American Express card, there was over $30,000 in strip club charges. I can easily, Whoa. That's an honest, I could tell you that. And I used to make it rain, bitches, to make it rain.
Imagine what you're going to be like on airplanes at 76.
Man, you're doing good in comedy, 30 grand and fucking credit card.
I am not going to be fondling from behind. I'm just going to go and sit on the girl's face.
I'm in front.
Yeah. I'm gonna sit back.
30 G's.
I'm gonna sit. Yeah, well, you know, that's what happened. That, as a financial advisor, as a licensed fiduciary, I had the ability to do that. Especially when you,
I'm
when you
would be able to write $50 from the ATM.
You know, a lot of these places, right. You know, you go to a strip club and it wasn't called Rachel's, it was called Rachel's Steakhouse. You know, there was even a strip club in Florida that was called The Office. So when you wrote the fucking bill, you went to write off as an expense report. Oh, I was at The Office. There you go. But you guys, were you big strip? We used to go all the time, dude. We'd go to strip clubs. We, you know, this is back when I drove a Corvette or a Porsche. My buddy I told you about, we'd go there. All these women would come and join us, and then they'd take them to South Beach. It was a great life. But like anything, I always tell this to the youngins who are watching the show. If you're going to date a stripper, 2 weeks. Just give it 2 weeks. No matter how good it's going, 2 weeks, end it. Be a hero.
I usually end it when I come. That's usually the time to check out.
I think both
methods are
very...
That's the longest relationship I ever had. Thanks, honey.
5 minutes.
I thought we were soulmates for 3 minutes there.
Listen, honey, this is the longest relationship I've ever had. It's 6.5 minutes.
Yeah. Are you That's my twin flame? My balls are burned.
Yeah, well, either way, Mike, they're very definitive moments. You know, 2 weeks or 6 minutes, at least there's a definitive moment and you're calling it quits. And that's what it's all about. You don't want to just, you don't want a relationship with a stripper to just linger, you know, because next thing you know, you're buying fucking formula and paying rents and shit. You just don't want to do that. And it usually ends up with you waiting outside the club from 2 o'clock to 3 o'clock asking the security, did everybody leave? And that's not a good thing. She promised me she was going to be out here. And
sounds
she's fucking
like
gone.
Sounds like you got a one man show on your, hands. Yeah.
Listen, you guys know if you want the treasure, you got to deal with the fuck. If you want treasure, sometimes you got to dig empty holes.
Oh God. Pun intended.
Much intended. Well, that's all we have time for here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. I want to thank my friends and comedic guests, Joe Fernandez and Mike Faverman, everybody. Joe, let's start with you. What do you got coming up and some things happen? I know you got a web series. I started watching a bit of it. It's very funny. Why don't you tell us about it?
Yeah, I got a new web series out on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/Joe Fernandez, Fernandez with an S. It's called I Don't Know Joe. 7 episodes. Episodes are like between 5 and 8 minutes. It's just a fun little series. So please go check it out and, you know, comment on it, like it. All that stuff, and
that's great.
Yeah,
great idea, by the way, Mike.
Thank you.
I am touring regularly. I'm in Chicago at the end of June, and I have a podcast called Come On Gay, and I'll have you guys on sometime. And go to my Instagram and check out my videos. I don't know who knows. I can't figure this part out, guys. You know, the talent part's there. I don't know how to get people to follow me, so let's go from there.
Well, there you go. Listen, that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Every time I perform now, I mention my Instagram. I started getting a habit of doing that. Please follow me at this. Yeah. It's all about followers, not TV credits anymore. And I usually pick up a dozen over the weekend, which that helps. At any rate, thanks for joining us, guys. And for everybody out there in our Wake Up Late with Dougie Show World, we'd like you to please, when you get a chance, subscribe to our YouTube channel. We have a small amount of subscribers. We're hoping to grow that so we can come up with our own YouTube distinctive name. It's very funny. And if not, you want to commit to such a thing, go to our fan page on Facebook where you're probably watching this right now, and be sure to like us and get that going. We like to put out clips. You know, sometime in the next few days, I'm going to put out some funny clips from here. And we have plenty, I imagine, we're going to have to boast about the show. And we appreciate that. Subscribe. Aside from that, I'm going to be in Florida this weekend headlining Madcaps Comedy Club in New Smyrna Beach. And then the week after, I'm going to be opening for Steve Trevino at the Jacksonville Comedy Zone Thursday, June 16th through the 18th. Great shows. I'm looking forward to that. Aside from that, folks, follow me at Dougie Dangerous. God bless everybody. And like we said, funny is funny. Lighten up. Have a thick skin. Realize not everybody on earth has to fucking see eye to eye with you. Learn how to be more tolerant and have a thicker skin and stop complaining, you fucks. Have a good day, and we'll see you next time right here at the same spot.